Hey, so greetings to all and a very warm welcome. My name is Dan Pan. I'm the National Field Coordinator for the Peace Alliance, and it's such a pleasure to have you all with us this evening. Our plan for this evening is in a little bit, we're gonna talk with our special guest, Dot Maver, and we'll have a chance for conversation with Dot. And after that, we'll have a few announcements, including a report from the Department of Peacebuilding Committee. And then we'll have a chance for any shares from the field. So if there's anything that you didn't get to share by that point in the call, we welcome any more news and updates from you. That's the plan for this evening. I hope it's agreeable to folks. I'd like to welcome you to do this little connecting activity now, which I learned from our Teaching Peace in Schools Council lead, Elena Popovich. It goes something like this. So for thousands of years, if not more, human beings have gathered around a fire. So we're gonna create a little virtual fire circle, if you will. We'll start by, and I might need to break in between to admit people from the waiting room with my other hands, rubbing our hands together as if we're warming in front of a fire, okay? Just gather a little bit of warmth. To feel that energy moving, and we're around the fire together, and then we can actually reach out towards the fire. We're connecting with that source of energy and warmth connection. Notice that we are experiencing that towards fire and towards each other. And then let's bring some of that into our own hearts. Bring some of that home. Wherever we need it, inside our. Maybe breathe it in a little bit. And then let's take a moment to share it out to whoever all may need it, whoever folks among us, around us, out in this world, may be nourished by sharing some of this prayer. And I thank you. I am grateful that I've had the chance to be friends with Dot Maver for these 10 or 15 years. Dot is one of the founding executive director, one of the founders of the Peace Alliance. She is also a founder of the Global Alliance for Ministries and Infrastructures of Peace. She's also a founder of the National Peace Academy and the River Phoenix Center for Peacebuilding. Dot describes her keynote as inspiring cooperation on behalf of the common good. So it's no surprise that we would warmly welcome and appreciate her presence with us. So welcome, Dot.
Oh, thank you, Dan. It is a great joy to be here with so many friends and co-workers and literally from around the world, I note on the screen, and some of our coworkers with us, and hopefully everyone will have a chance to say something in our time together if they so choose, as they check in, many with the Global Alliance. And you know, the Peace Alliance played quite a role in the early days of that founding when we all met in London. And I want to say, well, first of all, Dan said we can take a bit of time tonight. So I'd like to just share a few thoughts and then have a little conversation maybe. Dan, maybe you and I, because we've spoken now a couple of times, and then open it up so that we have a dialogue together. This is perhaps the most challenging moment of this incarnation for all of us. And that's not just in the United States of America. That's on this beautiful planet we all call home. But I want to first say thank you to each and every one of you on this call. And I have worked with so many of you over the years. Thank you for the quiet, steadfast, loving, just solid service with a deep deep understanding of group, and that it is necessary that we take a long view to what is unfolding on this planet so that we don't get caught in any snapshot moment that would take us to our knees, and not in a good way. So, yeah, so just a deep, deep heartfelt gratitude. And I can imagine among all of us that there are some deep-seated feelings about what's going on in the United States right now. And this is an opportunity tonight for us to have a conversation about that. But before we go there and talk about the opportunity ahead of us in this moment, regardless of what it looks like right now, I want to say that we are living in a moment in time on this planet that is as big as when Muhammad showed up. It's as big as when the Buddha showed up. It's as big as when Jesus was born. In fact, it's said that the Star of Bethlehem was actually two planets in the sky touching, exactly conjunct, Jupiter and Saturn at 0 degrees Pisces. And for those who may be familiar with the astrologic of our life out here, right now in the sky, Jupiter and Saturn are beginning to touch exactly at 0 degrees Aquarius. So what does that mean? What does that say to us as the heart of humanity awakens, as we all become more and more conscious on this planet? As we show up in a new way. And at the same time, that creates like so many challenges. And so, because it's almost overstimulating in a way. And yet, it's our job and our shared responsibility. And we have said this from day one in this century, and many of us have worked for many decades together. But certainly since 2003, when a number of us came together to serve with Congressman Dennis Kucinich with his presidential campaign, and to take a stance for being a demonstration model for what it is that we are calling for. It's one thing to call ourselves peace builders and peace activists. It's another thing to live peace, to truly be peace, and to offer ourselves as that demonstration model. And that's why I open with heartfelt gratitude, because that's what we continue to do. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and we get to take some share of the credit in this country, the United States, and through our work with our colleagues around the world, for what is transpiring, right down to policy and how our governance is beginning to shift to a more eco-centered governance instead of such a human-centric governance. So let's take a laser focus then from this great thing that is happening as all the cycles are changing at once. For those of you who know me well, I can't help but speak like this sometimes when we have an opportunity to come together, so that we understand the import of the moment we're in, and that we are then willing to give ourselves in a way that we don't get caught in fear or despair or the, goodness gracious, free-floating anxiety in the United States right now. Help. So that we actually become part of the solid anchoring of what we know is transpiring. This great shift, the cycle, 250,000-year cycle is shifting, a 25,000-year cycle is shifting, a 2,500-year cycle is shifting. And we all know that from the song, Age of Aquarius, Pisces to Aquarius. But what does that mean? I'll break into song in a second. Yeah, exactly. But what does that mean for us? It means that that we have really landed our individuality. We've developed mentally enough at this point that we are looking at ourselves as personalities even. Some of us even integrated personalities with a real conscious sense of spirit working through that form. And so we get it that Aquarius has to do with group, that we are moving into a time of working together in group. And that has been our work all along. The I factor, its use-by date is up. It's not just about me and mine anymore. It's about we and ours. And so with that, as we move through what's happening in the United States, did you know that it's said in the Ageless Wisdom, at least the lineage that I am most familiar with, that the battle of democracy will be fought out in the United States? That hits me like a ton of bricks. And I think that is the moment we are living through right now. And so let us continue to be vigilant. Let us not ease our foot off the pedal for 1 second. And the door is going to open shortly regarding a Department of Peace building and a UN resolution and every other thing that we have just carried on our backs. And a couple of us over the years are saying, wow, this is like a heavy load here. When do we put it down? Like, is it just not right timing? No, we don't put it down. We continue taking one step after another, knowing. I just, Saul and Penny are with us too. I just noticed from Canada. It's so wonderful to see everyone. So yeah, so no, we don't put it down. We continue joyfully, knowing that joy is a very special wisdom and that we are solutionaries as we continue to build this culture of peace together. So we often talk about how we can't fix the caterpillar, right? We're not going back to any kind of normal anytime soon, because as we move into this, we cross this threshold into this new day, there is no normal from behind us. It's a whole different energy that we are working with. Thank you, right? what a relief. So we celebrate the butterfly. And as we do that, and as we look ahead and we see possibilities, let us just take a moment. You know, one of the things that I also work with right now is Global Silent Minute. Some of you are familiar with that. And it actually originated, was inspired from the Big Ben Silent Minute, which started, well, in 1917, two British officers were lying on a battlefield just outside Jerusalem. And one said to the other, Tudor Pole, I'm not going to make it through this war. I've had a vision, and there's going to be another war, an even greater war fought on land, air, and sea. You'll survive. You have to find a way for me and millions on the other side of the veil to assist humanity, to bring peace to humankind. He died on the battlefield the next day. And 23 years later in 1940, Wellesley Tudor Pole knew exactly what to do. And got the Churchill and the Big Ben Trust and the BBC and FDR in the US supported it. And every night at 9 p.m., the bells would chime of Big Ben and the BBC would go silent for 1 minute. And they, British around the world, along with the Allies, would pray for peace, would invoke the assistance of all the light workers, both sides of the veil. So let us do that right now. And then we will open up for conversation. So we will take 1 minute. Let us invite all those on the other side of the veil to assist as we build a culture of peace, knowing that silence is action and is much more powerful than we know. at the end of World War II, a German officer was interrogated, and he said, "The British had a secret weapon we did not know how to counter. I believe it was called the silent minute." The silent minute is considered a spiritual weapon, and it helped end the World War. Today, our global silent minute at 9 p.m. GMT daily, right now that's 4 p.m. New York daily, is helping to end all war. Dan, back to you for our conversation.
Okay, sounds good. And before, I don't know if you would be likely to, you will probably remember, but I just want to bookmark that you have an event tomorrow that we want to make sure to mention, and I've got some information about that too.
Thank you. Yeah, actually, Global Silent Minute, Global Walk, and that's Danny and Jackie Garcia, military veterans, and United Religions Initiative are offering an event tomorrow on our Veterans Day in the USA. It starts at 10:30 a.m. New York. It will be on Facebook Live on the Global Silent Minute page. And there's also a Zoom link if you want to be in the room with us. And we will be thanking our veterans, first responders, and their families.
Thanks,
Dan.
Sure. And I just pasted information about that event into the chat. So folks who are online on their computers should be able to access that in the chat. If you are on your phone and you want me to send it to you, please just send me an email, dan@peacealliance.org, and I'll be happy to send it to you individually if you need that. What a wonderful segue, I think, Dot, talking about honoring first responders as well as veterans and their families, I think starts to highlight some of the work ahead of us, perhaps. We've had some interesting conversations about how we move forward, okay? And when Dot and I were talking about what to do with this call in this moment, some of our work is clearly within, as it is pretty much every day, right? And then as the Peace Alliance, we typically seek to translate that and have it go hand in hand with our outer work in the world. And some of that tends to be political in terms of advocacy. So what does that look like? Yeah. How do we move forward in this moment? We have an election that's likely to be disputed by close to half of the country. At least half of the voting population of the country. So we're living among people, and some of us may have very different take on what's happening in these days from our neighbors, from each other. What does that mean in terms of how we walk in the world and how we advocate? And when some of our friends and neighbors are themselves veterans or have families who have served in the military, and they are part of our family. There's so many different nuances to our situation. So we talked about different political advocacy angles and avenues. And I think some of what we came back to is really to start posing a question to this group as far as what is most true for each of us as humans and as peace builders, if you will, what is each of us called to? So I think we're going to lead into that question. You can start thinking about like how you would come to that question. What does your path forward look like in these wild days? Let me toss this back to Dot. See what do you
want? Yeah, thank you, Dan. And one of the things that we talked about, and many of you have seen me do this many times, this is where we are right now. And this is called conflict, right? And polarization. And there is a great need to be able to lift to a common shared purpose. So we work with that triangle all the time. There's always some common ground somewhere. And for the peace builder, we at the River Phoenix Center, we work with three C's: cooperation, communication, connection, connect. But I always say, don't be tricked. It's the same C in every point of the triangle. Connect, 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 and do it through your heart. Because unless we have the capacity to connect our hearts across distance, to literally unite our hearts across distance, we have a hard time listening. We end up always wanting to convince. So it's basically connect, not convince. And there's some real need for some serious connecting and dialogue with deep listening in this country right now.
Thank you. So for each of us, I imagine that there might be thoughts and feelings coming up about like where our edges are. It might be a sense of difference of opinion, or it might be a sense of discomfort. Like where would be the difficult bridge to cross for each of us, if there are any? We have policy goals, you know, that are aligned with a lot of what we're talking about. There is an active campaign to create a U.S. Department of Peacebuilding that would have many of these bridge-building components woven into it. There's also a new working group that formed within the Peace Alliance about 2 months ago that is working towards truth and reconciliation, or truth and healing. And there's a bill in the U.S. Congress as well to create a U.S. Commission for Truth and Reconciliation. And this working group is sorting out what that might mean to us and how we might interact with that. There's also the Hope Story Circle, which takes place every Saturday. And folks who got the announcement for this call probably get the announcement for that call. Again, if you don't get that announcement and want to make sure you get it, feel free to email me and I'll forward it, dan@peacealliance.org. That's a venue for sharing our truths. It could be a springboard for moving forward into more healing directions. So again, we're balancing policy with personal practice, which shows up in our hearts and in our neighborhoods and in our families.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to entertain this, who's that person that you think I could never talk to them? And even if you don't think it's time to have that conversation, a conversation with them, how can we make a little more space in our hearts for their perspective or their lived experience? That's my little invitation.
Yeah, well said. So who will join the conversation here? Who'd like to say something?
I muted everybody during the silent minute. So you're welcome to unmute yourself. If you're on the phone, you can unmute yourself by pressing *6.
I saw Jim unmute.
Okay.
Oh, maybe not.
Welcome to join us. Let's see how it goes. Just sort of pipe in. If you want to raise your hand, I'll look for you. But if you know you're ready to talk and there's a space, just let's hear you. Question, contribution?
Yeah.
Sure, Jim.
Well, I'll mention, and today I read a short article. I have an opportunity to work with some veterans for peace people, and who are working very strongly to take the concept of Veterans Day back to the original concept. Armistice Day began after the First World War and was totally designed to celebrate peace. Yeah. After the Second World War, the Congress changed the name, changed the focus, and moved it onto honoring militarism and veterans rather than peace. And I'm a strong proponent of working with the Veterans for Peace to re-energize the whole purpose of Armistice Day, which is tomorrow, not Veterans Day. Mm. Let's honor the work of peace. As a matter of fact, their mantra is the best way to honor all of the veterans of the past is to create peace so that we may never put anybody in that position again. So let's focus on peace. I also work with many other organizations, and it's a whole new movement of stop the conflict of war, rather focusing on what builds peace. Mm. Moving just that slight little difference of moving into thinking peace, what builds peace, rather than fighting against war. Because of all of the metaphysicians out there know that the mind knows does not recognize yes or no. It only hears war. So let's strictly, let's build peace.
Yeah, well said. Thank you, Jim. It reminds me of what the Peace Alliance has done with Mother's Day. And the only thing I would say to it, and knowing many vets for peace, and God bless all the vets, is that it really is what you are saying, moving in the direction we want, and yet celebrating and honoring our veterans, because the truth is, war is the last resort. Military force is the last resort, and any vet will say that. That's what they'll be speaking about tomorrow, is that veterans really are about protecting and serving and protecting our freedom and keeping the peace. So yeah, thank you for that. That's a nice shift.
And keep in mind, Gene Sharp has over 200 different things that we could do long before we get to war. So we say war is the last resort, but we have hundreds of opportunities and choices other than war. So how can we emphasize those? Dot, thank you for everything exactly. You do and say.
Thanks, Jim. Someone else like to join the conversation? I mean, as a speaker, you're all part of the conversation.
Exactly.
Bring your voice.
Nancy,
sure. Do you want me to unmute you?
There you go.
Right.
So you were talking about growing edges, and as I'm sure almost all of you know, I'm always out there about the Department of Peace Building and other things like that. But in my neighborhood, in my own home, I've been tended to be very low key and just kind of blend in kind of thing. But for this election season, I decided it's time we speak out and reach out and just engage with the community where we can. So I probably went overboard, but I put up all these Tibetan style flags, but Americanized, like prayer flags of peace, love, joy, all that good stuff. And then I made a tree, I called it the All Nations tree, where I put banners for all the races. And then we put a table out in front with art supplies and asked people to make their own banners and fly their own thoughts. And I had no idea how this would go, but today I was out there looking, and about maybe 15 or 20 people have put up banners. And I was out there today when a mom and her little girl were out there. They spent probably a good hour sitting down on our sidewalk and doing banners and putting everything up. And so I went out and talked to them, and it was so nice to connect. And one of the last messages I looked at was, it said, "Here comes the sun." And when I walked back in my house, that was a song that was playing on the radio. So I felt like, wow.
Nice.
So yeah, so that's a little bit different thing for me to be doing that.
Oh, yeah, well, and bless you for that. I think all of us are stepping outside our comfort zones necessarily in this moment. And thank you for always being at the front of that line, Nancy. Just in, God bless. You know, the chat is very active. Thank you. And I want to say that there's an idea from Christine about sister cities within the United States. Blue and red cities for dialogue. And there are, I don't know if Cheryl's still here, if you want to say anything about Braver Angels, there are some groups in the United States doing some beautiful work with dialogue, living room Better. Dialogue, etc. Well, it was Better Angels, now it's Braver Angels.
That's, you're right, sorry. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Yeah. And there's Avon Madison. Hi, Avon. There is a Global Peace Day, she says, established by the United Nations in 1981, the International Day of Peace, and may we have more days celebrating peace. And the other thing, Terry, thank you for synthesizing a number of comments. And Dan, you and I had this conversation about the us and them concept. There is no other. There's no separation. There is no other. I am you and you are me. And if I'm sitting in a room of those who celebrate their divinity other than I do, the same applies. If I'm sitting in a room with Democrats and Republicans and libertarians, et cetera, the same applies. And that's what I was saying earlier. I want to say heartfelt gratitude to everyone here right now in this Zoom room who has given so much to step out personally in a way that demonstrates that we really strive to know ourselves as other. And there is, so that there is no other, there is one. So yeah, she says, as Marianne often says from the Course in Miracles, there is only one of us here. It's not an easy path, but it's a very joyful path. And ultimately that's how we achieve peace.
Sure, Julie, what's up? And then Ted.
I mean, me?
Julie, then Dee, then Ted, how about that?
Okay. All right, great. Thank you so much for having me here and for sending me the email. I haven't been getting the emails for some reason. It must have been going to a different email that I'm no longer using, but Anne hooked me up with this one. But I really feel like this is the time that I've been put on the earth for, you know, like I've been the past almost 50 years, like prepping myself for this time. I really feel that. And, I started a podcast, and I just, had a conversation with Anne yesterday. It's called Peace and Love Amplifiers. And it's all about raising the voices of peace builders. So I've been really busy since the pandemic. I've been, I have a course online called Embodying Peace. Just like I really took hold of my peace building need. So I'm really excited to be, to be part of this group. And I do want to join back up with you all on a more dedicated basis. So now that my life is settled and now that I'm doing this, but I do really feel this urge to do this work. So I'm happy to be here.
Mm. I'm feeling it. Very, cool. Very nice.
Thanks, Julie. So how about Dee and then Tad after that? And that may be about all we have time for right now. Oh, is it Allison's waving your hand?
We'll see
how we go. Dee, Tad, and Allison.
Thank you. Thank you, Dot, for all the work that you're doing and everybody here. I live in Charleston, South Carolina, which I have grown to call a portal of sorts for some of our original struggle and strife of this country, a lot of our original struggle and strife of this country. And so I feel like, I can't see everybody's faces here. So I'm making a leap, and please tell me if I'm wrong, but I just wanted to call in to this conversation, people of color, because this is a very white room. And one of the things that I have been learning in my work here in Charleston and working with activists of color, especially Black activists, Black women, is the concept of we are all one is I completely understand that concept and know that I want to be there eventually. But it's been reminded to me in conversations here that as a white woman, when I say that, it feels like eraser to people of color. And so I guess I just wanted to bring that thought into this room because I think the work that everyone is doing here and the work that the Peace Alliance does and will continue to do is so incredibly important. But it's also important to remember that we want to amplify and bring with us the voices of the people that are the most marginalized by the lack of peace that we all feel. And so it's not to take away, I'm not being counter to anything that anyone has said here tonight. I just wanted to bring in, I see Regina. Thank you, Regina, for sharing. And it's hard to know if I can't see everybody's faces, and I don't want to represent a group that I do not belong to. But I just wanted to say that out loud, because I think it's really important to always be mindful that what I may think of as a conversation that is all about peace and love may not be received by those who do not feel the same level of peace and love that I feel just on a daily basis in this country. And so, I hope that is received by everyone here with the amount of love and intention that it comes with.
Mm. Yeah, thank you, Dee. And thank you for always having the courage to speak your truth. My goodness. Yeah, thank you. And I do want to say that I'd put two things in the chat. Ungun Institute, Marty Casey, Ferguson, and This Country is Amazing. Do check that out, please. And unity.earth, where just so many of us from all walks coming together, exactly as you're talking about, Dee, and doing that work that it takes to connect and really understand in ways that some of us just don't have that capacity until we get educated. So yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Dee. I agree with everything Dr. said. Over to you, Tad.
Yeah, hello, colleagues. Tad Daly is my name. I have had many gigs in peace advocacy and progressive politics, but I have never had a better boss than Dot Maver, who was my boss on the 2004 Dennis Kucinich presidential campaign. I remember it well. Thank you very much. So good to see you, Dot. It's been a while since we've been in touch. I was happy to join tonight. It was mainly your name on the email blast that got me to join. And it was a very moving presentation. It caused me to get up about halfway through and go to that bookshelf behind me and pull this off the shelf. Can y'all see it? Mm-hmm. My screen is backwards, unfortunately, but maybe not on yours. It's called Man, the State, and War, a Theoretical Analysis by Kenneth Waltz. It was written in 1953. Waltz was this heavyweight political scientist, really one of the giants in that field in the 20th century. And it's about the three hypothetical, theoretical causes of war. And I'll just read you the chapter titles. Part one is International Conflict and Human Behavior, the human mind, the human heart. Part two is International Conflict and the Internal Structure of States. And part three is International Conflict and International Anarchy. Mm. So I wanted to get that on the table because as you were speaking, Dot, I was sort of putting it into that framework. What you were talking about was very much the first angle. Yeah. The human mind and the human heart, things like that moment of silence. The Peace Alliance, and of course, with the Kucinich campaign, as you well remember, Dot, put forth the Department of Peace concept. Yeah. That's very much in that second bundle, that second basket, the internal structure of states. And you may vaguely recall, Dot, because we haven't been in touch in a while, but I focus quite a bit on that third angle. I've written a book about it's called Apocalypse Never, and it's about abolishing nuclear weapons forever. That's very much about international anarchy and interstate relations. And I'm writing my second book now, long underway, on reinventing and democratizing and empowering the United Nations. So I guess, thank you so much for clapping that. So I guess what I just wanted to get out on the table is that all three of those are so important. And I don't propose that every single one of us has to work on all three. You've worked so much on the first, Dot. I, to the disappointment of some, didn't really take up the Department of Peace thing after the Kucinich campaign. I was never opposed to it, but it's because I was really focused on that third element. Yeah. It's great for all of us to focus on the elements that call to us.
Exactly.
But very important, I think, to remember these multiple levels by which we can all strive to create peace within our hearts and peace on earth.
Mm, beautiful. And then everyone now knows why Tad was so invaluable to the Kucinich campaign. Thank you.
Very, very sweet of you. If only valuable enough that we'd gotten him elected, right?
Well, we helped shape dialogue at a time when we were seeding big, well, we were still ripping sod.
No doubt.
Yes, yes.
No doubt. And if I may, Dot really planted the seeds for the Bernie Sanders, the incredibly important Bernie Sanders campaigns of 2016 and 2020. Neither Kucinich nor Sanders was and likely will ever be elected president. God knows those three presidential campaigns, just like Eugene Debs a century ago, really planted the seeds for the world that we are all striving to create.
Yeah. Onward.
Thanks, Tad.
Poem I could share if you wanted.
All right.
A short, relevant poem.
Can I ask you to wait because Allison?
Yeah, that's fine.
Just to let folks know, I think we have the time. So we'll have a little bit less time for, we can continue this conversation a little bit longer. So don't worry. Until after we hear from Allison.
Hi, everyone. I'm in Longmont, Colorado, which is in Boulder County. And this is my first call, even though I've been engaged in a lot of different external activity and with the Alliance for, I guess, a number of years, but I've been watching, you know, lurking. And when Julia spoke up, I felt like I should say something too, because I too feel very called in the moment. I feel that this is, you know, that I'm starting to do something that I was called to do and meant to do, you know, my whole life. And I've done a lot of different things. What I did was on September 21st, which was International Peace Day or World Peace Day, it has different names. I launched a website. It's called tellyourstory.com. And our motto is making peace personal. So since I've been so active externally and then very quietly doing my personal work, I had this revelation at a certain point that, you know, very few cultures around the world, and certainly in the West, this is true, that we're not taught as children any peacemaking skills. It's not fundamental to our education. It's not fundamental to our family culture, unless, you know, Quakerism. I mean, there are pockets, but generally speaking, we grow children and we grow adults who have no skills. And then we wonder why we have so much conflict, even over very minor kinds of things. And we don't have the ability to have peaceful and civil discussion with each other. So my idea was that I would invite people from across the globe to share their personal stories. So these are personal essays of how they've overcome a common human challenge and made peace, made personal peace with an experience. And then, you know, in so sharing, we would also collectively dig out peace practices that have worked for people individually. And the mission is to make peace personal for self, family, community, the world, you know, spread in that way. And so I would invite you, you know, it's kind of an online magazine. That's the form of it. And I'm making lots of connections all over the place. We already have quite a number of really interesting international contributions on the site. And currently the latest issue that just went up, and this is for Dee, you know, just to mention, the featured peacemaker and storyteller is an African-American journalist, an Emmy award-winning journalist, her name is Tamara Banks, And she has a PBS show called From Moment to Movement. It's a new show that just started during this period of time, you know, since the spring. She finally got it funded. You know, suddenly, all of a sudden, people wanted to support her in amplifying Black voices. And there's a very lengthy personal essay from her on tellyourstory.com about how she grew up and how she fit, you know, the personal racism that she encountered as a mixed race person. And then she ended up going to Africa and covering post-genocidal societies in several countries in Africa. And the reason I'm mentioning this, because it's eclectic, you know, but it's so beautiful in its variety. And I actually don't know where this is going. I'm creating a container. I'm inviting people to fill it. And thank you for the opportunity to, you know, be here and listen tonight. Now I want to be on all the calls and just listen, but I thought I would speak up tonight and share.
Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you, Allison.
Yeah. Allison, I'm so glad you did share. And I want to specifically invite you to check out the Hope Story Circle, which is every Saturday, and also the next meeting of our Truth and Reconciliation, Truth and Healing Working Group. I think your container may come into great service in cooperation with that group, along with other possible containers and cooperation, some videography as well. So there's some great ground for cooperation there. Thank you. I'm wonder, Warren, if you'd be willing to hold your poem until after we hear an update from Nancy on the Department of Peacebuilding Committee, because I want to make sure we have a chance for that update. Is that okay with you, Warren? And we can sort of close with your poem and then a couple of final words. Is that all right?
Yeah, that'd be all right.
I appreciate that. Thanks for the flexibility. Okay. Dot, we've had a lot of Dot, and I love having you with us, and you are more than welcome to stay for the rest of the call. And it's a little late on the East Coast, and you are a special guest. If it's bedtime for you, we understand, and you can sort of take your leave. It's up to you.
Thank you, Dan. I want to hear about the Department of Peacebuilding.
Beautiful. Nancy, take it away.
Yes, East Coast, stay awake. thank you, Dot, and thank you everybody on this call. I've had the opportunity to work with so many of you on so many different levels, and on the Department of Peace, on the Global Alliance for Peace, through lobbying, through our various calls. So, and I just appreciate all that you all are doing. Like everybody else, I think the Department of Peacebuilding Committee is going through a great joy right now. as Emma Goldman said, if I can't dance, I don't want to join your revolution. So we're doing some dancing and singing right now, but we're also we're also taking a deep breath and watching and staying woke and staying vigilant, because we're not there yet. There's a lot this country has to go through, and we're just in a phase where we're kind of celebrating what we've done and planning for other upcoming Department of Peace and Peace Alliance kind of events coming up. So I think to me, this time has really shown the importance of our interconnectedness and the importance of the connection between peace and governance, which is actually one of the sustainable goals from the United Nations. And God knows we need some good governance in the United States right now. And we appreciate your good wishes from all of you, those of you abroad who are sending good energy to this country, because we can use help we can get for sure. So what we've been doing right now, we're a little bit in celebration mode about, a lot of you probably were on our virtual advocacy days on International Day of Peace. And even some of you on the call were presenters, and the whole theme of that was building bridges, not walls. So if you haven't listened to that, or even if you have and want to listen again, I really urge you to do that. I got a lot out of listening to it over again. I guess, let's see, I think we'll post it. It's posted on our website, and it's a DOP YouTube thing. So you can go on our website, and you can also see it through our recent, I guess it was in our recent e-news, there's a link to it. So please do that. And then we're celebrating the other part of Advocacy Days, which was, we had quite a number of phone calls with congressional offices. And as a lot of you know, we usually go to Washington, couldn't do that this year, so had to do it virtually. And I was really heartened by, maybe especially by the folks who showed up from New Jersey for the meeting with Congressman Norcross's office, and a big presence from Maine for people who are going to be on the call with Jared Golden. And then we had a lot of other calls, and our most rewarding, of course, was Susan Wild's office signed on after almost immediately after our call. So we're running that. And then we're moving forward with our planning for next year right now. So we invite any and all of you who want to join in any of our Department of Peacebuilding calls. We'd love your energy, your ideas, your input. Our next call is on the 18th, so it'll be next Wednesday. And you can sign up, the number's listed on the website, but you can also sign up and send me your name if you want. We'll put you on the email list to get notices of that. So we'd love help in that way. Another active thing that's going on right now, I have to credit really to Ann Kreider and Maggie and Dot and all the Gamut folks who've been working for years now for a United Nations resolution for departments and ministries of peace. So that's something that's in the works, and we're working not only with Gamut, but with a group called For Peace and others to make this a reality. And it's a whole, to me, it's a whole new process. I'm kind of used to how you do things in the US, but in the UN, it's a little bit different. So I'm learning a lot on that. And then just on a personal note, all of us I know are thrilled that Kamala Harris is our new vice president, and she's represents so many breakthroughs. And for my 15 minutes of claim to fame is Kamala Harris and my fourth son were both born at the same hospital in Oakland, California. So, I was at the rally where she announced her candidacy for president, and there were thousands of people there. You couldn't even get near City Hall in Oakland. So that was a great thing for me. So so I'm feeling hopeful and joyful and thankful for all of you. And again, we invite you, anyone who wants to be part of the Department of Peacebuilding campaign planning, to please do that. So thank you, Dan.
Wonderful. Thank you, Nancy. Thanks so much. Just as a quick teaser, will you name a few of the people that are on that recording from the Advocacy Days that's on the website?
Well, we have some here that are here. So we have Dot Maver, Saw. We have some others from the Gamut group, Marianne Williamson, Rita Marie Johnson. Who am I forgetting? Some of our local peace builders from San Diego, Azim Kamiza.
Ambassador Chowdhury.
Ambassador Chowdhury, definitely. I'm sure I'm forgetting some others, but it was a great lineup, and I was inspired by every single person who spoke. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. All right, we are right up against our time, and I think we have time for Warren's poem and then a closing invocation from Dot. Warren, are you still willing? You ready to go?
Yeah, okay, here I am. Great. Hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, this is a short poem that I think is relevant from a general perspective. It's called A Better World. We should all join and come together and bring our hands and mind and our hearts and soul together to define and build a better world, a world based on equality and justice, a world of kindness and sharing, a world filled with comfort and joy, a world of productive peace. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. I love it. Amen. Thank you. And before,
who was a religious leader and that did an awful lot to promote peace 30 years ago, and he was promoting a peace academy to go parallel to the West Point and Naval Academy and so on, and he was partially successful.
Nice.
Beautiful, Warren. Thank you. But before I turn it over to Dot to bring us home, just to remind folks that this recording is available on the website on the Peace On page, along with other recordings that can be downloaded as podcasts. Also, if folks are inspired to be a contributor, a financial contributor to the Peace Alliance, you are fully welcome. I believe many of you probably already are, and feel free to support us in doing what we do. One final announcement, next month we'll start having these calls at 8:30 Eastern instead of 9 Eastern, a little bit earlier for the growing darkness on the East Coast. I'll ask you to indulge us, we may go just a minute over, and invite Dot to bring us to a close with this invocation.
Thank you, Dan. And thank you, Dan, for all that you do and bringing us together like this all the time. Bless you. So let's close with the invocation of the soul of the United States of America as shared by the Center for Visionary Leadership. May we as a nation be guided by the divine to rediscover the sacred flame of our national heritage, which so many have given their lives to safeguard. Let the wounds of separation and division be healed by opening our hearts to listen to the truth on all sides, allowing us to find a higher truth that includes us all. May we learn to honor and enjoy our diversity and differences as a people, even as we more deeply touch our fundamental unity. May we as a people undergo a transformation that will draw forth individuals to lead our nation who embody courage, compassion, and a higher vision. May our leaders inspire us, and we so inspire each other that a new spirit of forgiveness, caring, and honesty be born in our nation. May we, as a united people, move with clear, directed purpose to take our place within the community of nations, to help build a better future for all humankind and all creation. May we, as a nation, rededicate ourselves to truly living as one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And may God's will be done for our nation as we, the people, align with that will. Om Shanti.
Thank you, Dot, so much for that and for joining us and continuing to be with us. And thank you all. I want to unmute everyone at this point and invite you to say good night or whatever else you're moved to say in the final moment together. Best wishes to you all. Take good care of yourselves and do what we can to take good care of each other.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel.
Bye. All of you. Thank you.
Be well. See you, Estella.
Much love and light your way.
Hello. How are you? Nice to see you. Pleasure share with you all. Thank you. Hello, Nancy. Okay. Bye.
Good Thank night,
you,
Dot.
Thank you.
Bless you, Estella, for being
Goodbye.
With us.
Bye. To you. Nancy. Thank you. Bye, Michael. Hey.
Kendra's there somewhere, too.
Yes, yes. Night, everybody.